Good morning, Sugarland. It is a joy and an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm from Palladium, and so we're part of the same family, imperfect people. With this opportunity comes a responsibility and a challenge. And the challenge is, of course, when you speak, you've got to live what you speak, practice what you preach, and you are confronted with issues in your own life that you still have to overcome. And of course, as you heard, Pastor said that I'm from Africa, and I'm living now in America, so I'm an African-American challenging this economy and trying to stay alive. The other responsibility is to thank you. We have church every Sunday morning at the Palladium in a movie theater. And your support, your help, your financial assistance makes it possible for us to have church every Sunday morning. And I want to salute you and thank you for what you are doing and what you have done for us at the Palladium. Now, challenges will never end. We will always face challenges. We read in Peter that he wrote the following. Now, another challenge is, of course, my accent, so I'll try to go slower, because sometimes I say, what did that guy just say? Because he speaks English, not Americanish, and we speak Americanish. So I'll try to go slower so that you can follow my accent. But Peter wrote the following, and he said, your adversary, your enemy, is walking and prowling around like a roaring lion to see whom he can devour. A roaring lion, a dangerous enemy. Let's say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we rely on you and your word to help us to overcome. And all of us are facing roaring lions, challenges every day, every week, every year. Some of those challenges last a day. Some of those challenges can and will go on for weeks, sometimes months. But we know that in you we shall overcome and we shall conquer. Speak to us and let us apply this word in our lives so that we can make an impact in this world. Amen. Now, for those of you, let me start by asking, whom of you have seen a lion in any zoo or reserve? Let's start with the zoo. Well, that's a majority of you. You've seen a lion in a zoo, but that lion was in an enclosed environment. Whom of you have seen a lion in its real habitat in Africa or on a safari? Oh, you see, it's getting less and less. It's only a few. Whom of you have touched a real lion? Was that a cub or a real actual lion? A young cub? Okay, so that shows you that we will not encounter real lions in our life, but a real lion is not a dog that you can find anywhere and everywhere. We don't play with lions. We are actually scared of lions because it's a vicious, one of the most dangerous animals in the world. Now, as a family coming from Africa, we had the opportunity for over a period of 10 years to go on safari. Safari is a word that comes from the Swahili, meaning we're going on a road trip. Now, I see several Americans go on safari, but that's a different safari. So on that safari, we've encountered real lions. Now, I do not have permission from all of the family members to show you this picture, because Iyanta, my daughter, said, Dad, we look completely different, and in fact, look what we look like there. People will think we are, I don't want to use that term, but I said, remember, when you go on safari, there are two game drives in the morning. One is 5 o'clock, the other one, of course, is later in the afternoon. So when you get up at 5 o'clock, there's no time for anything else but to rinse your teeth, and you're on this open Land Rover. Now, I just want to share with you that these lions, these photos of these lions were not taken by way of using a telephoto or a zoom lens. This is how close we came to real lions. This is a selection of photos. Now, being inquisitive and making sure that I want to look after my family, I said to the, now you are accompanied by a game ranger and a tracker. The tracker sits on that little stool there, and he looks on the ground for any signs, and he tracks, and the game ranger drives, and of course he's got a loaded rifle, a very powerful rifle. If anything happens, he's ready. Now I said, now, with this open vehicle, how is it not possible? Why are we not attacked or killed by these lions? I mean, he said, sir, in 10 years that I've been on this reserve and in this neighborhood, not a single lion has attacked or tried to attack any of the humans when they're on this vehicle. I said, why? He said, the rule number one is you do not stand up in any situation and in any case. You do not stand up. I said, why? He says, these lions grow up with this sound and with that specific shape. So they would see that shape. And of course, the people are in there. So they grow up with the sound and that shape. But once you change that shape, they can perceive that as a threat. So you'd never get up out of that or stand up. Secondly, he says that, I said, but why can't they smell me? They've got a brilliant sense of smell. He says, no. They only smell the diesel fumes from this Land Rover. They don't smell you as a human. And that said to me, but that's actually how we are in Christ. We are under his blood and we are protected. But don't you dare go out under the blood of Jesus Christ and his protection. Then you are a dead person. You will not survive. So we had a very chilling and scary experience. We were tracking this group of lions led by these two adults. You can see on the photo, their mane is already black. So they're 10, 12 years old. And with a young one about 2 yards away from our Land Rover, they started roaring. Now, when you hear it on TV, you hear it in a movie theater, that's completely different from hearing it in real life. It is a chilling experience, a frightening experience that you cannot explain to anybody. A real lion next to you roaring with everything he has. Then you realize why, as Peter wrote the following, that be careful, your enemy is a roaring lion. You cannot play with him. It takes serious challenges from you when you're confronted by a lion. Now, of course, in the Bible, the series that we're in, there are four individuals who have had encountered with lions. Three of the four used brute force. David, Samson, and Benaiah. They used their weapon. They used their physical strength. Daniel did not. And we're going to look at the life of Daniel today. But in our life, as I said, we're not going to be confronted by real lions in our streets. We're going to be confronted by roaring lions, not a physical lion. Now, there could be physical challenges, but it's not a lion. And as I was preparing for this series, I said to myself, what are the challenges that I am facing and that I have faced in my life? What are the roaring lions? Now, when I share with you these roaring lions, I'm not preaching or speaking against them. I'm just saying, and I want to share with you, what have caused challenges in my life and what probably could be a challenge in your life. Maybe you've overcome that challenge. So let's look at some roaring lions in our everyday life. I don't know if you can see on the screen, these are all sports teams. Now look at the symbol that they've used, the Detroit Lions. Premier League soccer uses a lion. Chelsea Football Club uses a lion in the UK. The Lions rugby in South Africa, the British and Irish Lions that are currently touring New Zealand, they all have symbols of lions. Now I love sports. Now, in South Africa, we play rugby, which I believe, of course, it's a holy sport because we play it on Saturdays and not on Sundays like NFL. You know? So we don't sin. 23 of the 25 most watched TV programs are NFL related. The U.S. spends $25.4 billion annually on football. Over $4 billion was paid for tickets to the 2014 Rugby World Cup. The average rugby fan, that was me, spends 150 hours... watching games on TV. Now, as I said, I love rugby. There's nothing wrong with it. However, it became a roaring lion in my life because what did I do? Of course, rugby is shorter. It's only 80 minutes. So instead of you guys watching 4 hours one game, I can watch in 4 hours three games. But it didn't stop there. When it was high season, I would watch 4, 5, 6, 7 games. I would be sitting in front of that TV, neglecting my responsibility towards my wife and my children. It became a roaring lion in my life, devouring me, eating up my time, and taking me away from what was necessary. Now again, it's nothing wrong, but if you don't manage your time like I didn't manage it well, it became a roaring lion, which had a negative impact on my relationships. Let's look at some more roaring lions. Now, again, I love cars. I love sports cars. So many years ago back in South Africa, I look at my business. We're doing well, getting a good salary. I'm one of the owners. We've got great contracts. So I'm going to buy myself a Jaguar. What a car. What an experience. What a smell. What a feeling. But I did not plan in advance enough. Because 2 years down the line, major project, client didn't pay us in full. I couldn't afford my Jaguar. Financial trouble. Give it back. Sell it. Get rid of it. Because there's an expense that you cannot afford and you didn't plan for. Okay, I have to pay this vehicle for 4 years. I didn't plan for 4 years. Now, just look at the average American household owes $27,000 on an auto loan. There's nothing wrong with it. The question is, can you manage it within your finances and in your budget? I thought I could, but it ended up becoming a roaring lion. The 10 most valuable NASCAR teams are worth $1.4 billion and generate $890 million in revenue from 75 million fans. There's nothing wrong being a fan, but how much of your time and your money is spent? Is this a potential roaring lion, a hobby, an interest? Let's read some more. Let's look at some more. Again, now, I love movies. Now, I'm more in the movies than you guys are because our church is in a movie theater, as you know. So I belong to a club where I could go, and actually I did, Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. I went to the movies because I almost got it free of charge. Now, luckily, my wife went with me. But God was saying to me, you spend more time on entertainment than in my word. That is a roaring lion. Be careful. 62% of all Americans go to the movies, but only 20% of Americans go to church. Now, if that is not a challenge for this nation, then I do not know what a challenge is. I do not say that you have to spend 50% of your time reading the Word of God. I'm just saying be careful that other hobbies and entertainment do not take more of your time than it should. Let's look at some more roaring lions. Now, before I got married, I lived on pizza. And I thought pizza is healthy because it's got natural ingredients like vegetables and meat and chicken and everything and spices. So I thought it was very healthy. But up to a point, I realized it is not healthy when I looked at my health. $90 billion spent on alcohol annually. $90 billion. Over 15 million Americans are alcoholics. I mean, that is a staggering number. $191 billion per year is spent on fast food. Again, there's nothing wrong, but I'm asking if $191 billion is spent on fast food, that's a lot of money. One of your fellow members of this church who are with us now, Albert Perez, I said, Albert, you're a financial advisor. Can you share with me, what do you think? When you sit in front of people and they plan their finances and their future and their retirement, what do you see are the biggest challenges that they're facing? He said the following. Fast food, eat out, credit card debt, entertainment, buy what you want, whenever you want, what you like. He says people do not manage their finances and prioritize their finances. They just spend because they just got access. So there's nothing wrong again with what I'm saying here. I'm just advocating be careful because it had a negative impact on my life. It became a roaring lion because there were no balance. Let's look at some more roaring lions. About 20 million Americans are addicted to gambling. It's interesting. MGM Grand and some credit card companies use a lion. 20 million. Now, if you take that 20 million Americans addicted to gambling and the 15 million to alcohol, you have 35 million people are addicted to something. And that's excluding drugs. Are they not? Is that Is that not roaring lions in our lives? Couldn't it be that it could destroy us? Now, look at this. 46% of Americans have 600 million active credit cards. When I came to the U.S., I could not get a credit card because I had no credit score. However, after 2 years, 4 of the 5 envelopes in the mail up until today is an offer for a credit card. $4,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 is the easiest access to cash that I've ever seen in my whole life. And I can understand that, but look here, $798 billion in debt, credit card debt. Now, if you lived in the life of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and you would still be alive today, and you had access to a credit card, and you would spend $1 million a day up until today, you would not end up having $698 billion in debt. Do we know how much money that is? That's easy credit. It traps you. It trapped me, and it's still trapping me often because I see some things. Sometimes I see things that I like. I like a nice shirt. Then I would say to myself, do you need it? Can you go without it? Or is this just your desire and you just like it? Then I would say, whoa, if I don't need it, don't buy it. But I fall into that same trap. That same roaring lion is around me daily because I've got credit available on my credit cards. Now, let's look at some more. Daniel, why are we here today? Daniel is the lion whisperer. Daniel set an example. And when I studied these scriptures, I said, Lord, help me to become a Daniel. I want to dare myself to live the life of a Daniel. Now, if we look at Daniel's lifetime, let's look at the background first before we get into the life of Daniel. Daniel is the 27th book of the Bible. The events took place during the Babylonian captivity, 6th century BC. So it's about 2,500, 2,600 years ago. He served under 4 different kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Ahasuerus. He outlived 4 kings, heathen kings. He's famous for his 3 friends. We all know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, if you read the scripture before and related to all these events, you will see that him and his friends were some of the most outstanding young men that were captured and taken away to live in a foreign land, in a foreign culture, with a foreign language, with foreign traditions. Now, the king, when he got hold of Daniel and his friends, their names were changed. The objective was them to learn the literature and the culture and the lifestyle of that new adopted country. And also, we'll see a bit later how they wanted to change their diet. So as I was reading, I realized there were several D's in the life of Daniel that I can apply in my life. The first one was declined and determined. He was a man who often had to decline and through his lifetime declined many opportunities and temptations. He had to show determination in order to stay true to himself and what he learned as a young man. In the first 19, 20 years before he was taken into captivity, he was from the royal family. He was taught everything there is to know about scripture, about rules, about the commandments. And he honored those commandments and he never deviated. So let's read the scripture further to see how we can learn from his life. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearances of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. Let's just pause there. Now, I'm not advocating, and I don't think Daniel advocated, that we just live on water and vegetables. Now, some people go on that fast and they see excellent results. But Daniel was actually declining this diet because it was part of sacrifices to the heathen gods. And knowing the Ten Commandments saying that you shall have no other god or participate in any other activities to another god, he refused. He said, I'm not going to do that. And I believe he was a Nazarene and they were not allowed to have wine. So based on his biblical principles, how he was raised, he declined it. He said, this is not my lifestyle. I was not brought up that way. I am going to decline that. And he did that. Now, if you read further, you'll also see that the word says there was a different spirit in them. Again, not because they lived on vegetables and water for that period, but also they did not participate in anything that was part of a sacrifice to idols. Let's read further. Now, he dreamed and discerned. He had the ability to interpret dreams. He had the ability to understand and to discern things. Now, although he was one of three governors appointed by this king, but he was the number one governor. So he was an outstanding man, ability to rule, ability to reign, with wisdom, with knowledge, objectively. He was a man of character and integrity, but he also had discernment. He could discern between certain situations. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. He cannot be who he is if there's no relationship. Now, you'll remember when Jacob was fleeing from Esau, he had a dream at Bethel, and God showed him in a vision, in a dream, showed him something. And you'll remember in the New Testament, I think Joseph, where he planned to divorce Mary, and in a dream, God said to him, no, what is in her is of the Holy Spirit. And also, God warned him in a dream to get up and flee because they were after the young people to be killed by the king. So he got up in the night and he fled. So where there's a relationship, God reveals himself. So let's read a passage pertaining to that. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. He was discreet. He was like a very good ambassador, choosing his words, and said to the Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about the matter, so that they might request compassion from God of heaven. They might request compassion, relationship of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed, another D, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Let's just pause there. The king had a dream, and he said, I have wise men, and I've got interpreters, but I know if I share with them this dream, they might give me an explanation or an interpretation, and how would I know this is the truth? How would I know this is real? So he said, I'm going to say to you guys, you tell me what the dream is and you tell me what the interpretation is. You interpret that dream. That was a challenge, and all the wise men could not do that because they hadn't had that relationship with a living God. But Daniel and his friends had. And what happened was Daniel was able to tell the king, this was your dream and this is the meaning of the dream. And then that king realized, this must be the truth, because how are you able to tell me what the dream is and to interpret the dream? Let's learn more from Daniel. Now, Daniel was disciplined and dedicated. He was not politically correct. He didn't choose to be always do the things that makes you popular. Now, when I came here the first time with my new partners here in the U.S., first two or three meetings, they start and then they just carry on. And I said afterwards, guys, why don't we pray before these meetings? Well, you know, we might offend people. I said, you know what? Don't you think we should rather offend people than our God? Yeah, but we must be very careful, and we don't know how many people in this meeting are Christians. I said, I don't care. I tell you what we do. We say to them, whoever is in that meeting, we are going to pray. If we are in the minority, we will go outside and we will pray. If not, they can go outside and wait for us to pray. And we're going to do that. We're not going to deviate from that. Everything we do, wherever we start, whatever we do, we counsel God, we go to Him in prayer. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel said, I'm not going to compromise. He was disciplined and dedicated. Let's see what happened. The king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any other god, to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Let's just pause there. Now, what happened here? Because he was number one, although he had two other governors, because Daniel was who he was, a man of integrity and character, they were jealous of him. They didn't like him. They wanted to get rid of him because he was in charge and he was from another country. He wasn't even a citizen of Babylon, so he had the highest position. And we have to listen to this guy? We're not going to tolerate that anymore. So what did they do? Behind his back, they went to the king and said, King, you are majestic. You are wonderful. You are the one and only. Careful, it's a roaring lion when you get too many compliments. So he felt so good about all these compliments and that who he is. And they said, you know what you should do? For 30 days, you should write a decree that nobody else should worship anybody else except you. Because why did they do that? Because they knew that Daniel was praying to his God. Daniel was dedicated to his God. And they set a trap for Daniel. The king fell for the trap. He wrote the decree and he said, nobody else should do that. Now let's read further. There's the deed, the most important deed in his life, the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the decree, another deed, so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Let's pause there. This king knew that is the constitution, that is the law. No matter who breaks the law, no matter who is in front of me or who I have a relationship with, we will stick to the law. No excuses. That was that law of that time. You can't revoke it. So once he signed that, he didn't know what he was signing. Daniel was in trouble. Let's read. Therefore, King Darius signed the document. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, on his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing previously. Let's reflect and pause there. Now, remember, he is the governor of Babylon. For sure did he know what was going to happen to him if he defied the decree. He knew. Lose your job, lose your reputation, and end up in the lion's den. He didn't say, okay, you know what, God, have mercy on me. I'm going to become a submarine Christian for 30 days. I'm not going to pray out loud. In fact, I'm going to pray all by myself, all quietly, until this 30 days are over. No. He said, I am not going to compromise. I am dedicated. I am disciplined. I have a relationship with you. He kept on doing what he was doing for 40, 50 years in this land, praying 3 times a day. A purpose and a plan that he didn't deviate from. And he opened his windows. Said, you can carry. I am praying like I prayed yesterday, and I'm not going to hide that I'm praying. Catch me, do with me whatever you want to, because I am not going to disobey my God. Let's continue reading. Now, this is trouble for Daniel. He depended on God for his whole life. And he realized that God has delivered him out of many circumstances. But this is a huge challenge in front of him. How is he going to, through depending on God, how is he going to be delivered from this major life-threatening challenge? Let's just look at this video clip.
Mercy on me, O God. In you my soul takes refuge. I'm in the midst of lions, surrounded by ravenous beasts, whose teeth are spears, whose tongues are sharp as swords. I call upon your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. Hear my plea. Come near. You say, do not fear. O Lord, take up my case. Redeem my life. All times. His praise be ever on my lips. But those who seek the Lord will lack for no good thing. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord rescues him from them all. You have rescued me from the mouth of lions, and I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you.
I will declare your name, O Lord. Your praises will be forever on my lips. That's what Daniel did. He didn't say to himself, well, God, but I am a righteous man. I am in charge of this kingdom. I have served you for 65, 75 years. I've been diligent. I've been focused. I've been dedicated. Why am I in this situation? No. He didn't try to justify himself. He placed the focus back onto God and said, I declare your name. I praise your name. I will share your goodness. He declared the name of the Lord. That's how he got delivered. In spite of all his wonderful assets and characteristics and his abilities, he was saved by what? Not by his reputation. Let's read. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve and depend upon, will himself deliver you. Just pause there. So this pagan heathen king, through the life of Daniel, realized that Daniel was serving a living God. And I've asked myself this, am I living my life in such a way that other people can say he serve a living God? He recognized that. Serve and depend upon will himself deliver you. Now look at this. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. What happened 600 years later with Jesus? They also sealed the grave with the ring of the Roman centurion. Why? Because they wanted to make sure that Jesus really rises from the dead. They wanted to make sure that nobody would come and rescue Daniel, and he would so-called say, I am saved from the lions. It's the same. History repeated itself. Let's continue reading. Then the king went off to his palace, but his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of the day and went in a haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Daniel was saved by faith, by nothing else saved him. His faith in his God, he trusted in God, that saved him. So what did Daniel do here? Let's look at another D in his life. He said, I'd rather die than disobey my God. Thousands of our fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, are in prison all over the world because of their faith. They are tortured, they are brutally murdered, they are raped, they are beheaded, but they say, I'll rather die than disobey my God. And I've come to realize that I am often in a comfort zone, and my comfort zone is a roaring lion, because will I rather die than disobey my God? Sometimes it's so easy to disobey God because it's not life-threatening. But Daniel didn't. Daniel was saved by his faith. What did he do? What are the three principles that Daniel do in his life? He said three things. If I can sum up in that lion's den, let's read that. He obeyed God in spite of the consequences. No matter what. No matter what my wife, my family, my friends, my boss, whoever is going to say, I am going to obey God. God spoke no matter the consequences. And people, brothers and sisters, don't delay, because when you delay, that is disobedience. He said the following. He trusted God in spite of appearances. When I sometimes look at my bank account, I look at the state of my business, I look at sometimes relationship challenges that I have, and I look at those appearances and say, how is it possible to trust God if it looks like everything is going against me? But that's the challenge. Trust God in spite of appearances. And like he ended in that video clip, he praised God in spite of the circumstances. Now, when I share these three principles with you, they come to haunt me every day. They challenge me daily that when I am down, or when I am not depressed, but when I feel that this is a challenge or I'm concerned, I'm reminded by praise God in spite of circumstances. Now, you know what happened to the walls of Jericho? God said, you praise and march around these walls, then they will fall. The question is, how do we overcome? Or the answer is, how do we overcome roaring lions in our life? It is not where you go, it's who you travel with. Are you traveling with the Lion of Judah? Is Jesus your companion to help you, to assist you? In spite of all these wonderful characteristics Daniel had, it was his faith. I can have all the abilities and apply everything that I've shared with you today in my life, but out of my own strength and power, if I do not have the right companion, I will not survive. Let's read the last verse in Revelation. And one of the elders said to me, John, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. I challenge you and I invite you to walk with the Lion of Judah so that you can, and myself can overcome all these roaring lions that we are facing daily in our lives. Let us pray together.